And our special guest, Liz McIntyre. We're going to take phone calls with Liz as we talk about spy chips, RFID, high technology, and so much more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Liz McIntyre with us as we talk about her work in the spy chip arena. Liz, since you've been doing this, how many years now?
Oh, I'm going to date myself. A long time, since the early 2000s.
That is not that long.
Well, I guess that's like 17 years, maybe? Wow.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
17. But it's when you say 2000s, it doesn't sound long at all.
It doesn't, but yeah, I was trying to make it sound like not as much time because that dates me, but it's been a long time.
So we got an email in from someone who says, would you change your mind about smart chips and RFID chips if it was embedded in a child and helped them from disappearing?
Is that for me?
That's for you.
I love it because I think it's a terrible idea, and I can tell you why. First of all, the chips that we're talking about are passive chips. There is no battery, no GPS in those. So they can be read from a very short range. That means you can still track people with reader devices, but it also means that if someone is going to steal a child away, they're not going to be stupid enough to go any public place near a reader device. So it's probably not going to do you any good. If, in fact, at some point they do, and I suspect at some point they will, you add power to these embedded chips and try to sell them as, wow, look, we can track you from a really long distance, and, you know, we can, you know, find people, you know, kids maybe from a distance. That's when things get really awful and gruesome, as you can imagine. We talked earlier.
So they'd cut them out of kids, you're saying?
And actually, we've talked about this. You know, where schools are trying to even put hang tags around kids to say, you know, are they in? Are they there for attendance purposes and to ensure kids are safe? But you know, anybody who really wants to take a child and has a device like that could throw everybody off track because you could take the device or the embedded chip out, put it where the person is supposed to be or near where the person is supposed to be and be miles away for hours before anyone would ever suspect.
You could put it in a stray animal and let them loose.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. It's possible. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so really, as a security device, these chips are just simply a bad idea.
Interesting take. How many companies are manufacturing these chips?
Well, that's hard to say. They're not out there going, hey, I'm making chips that are privacy invading and I'm going to...
Made in China?
Well, you know, I'm sure there are some made in China. I've heard there's some made in India. You know, the chip market is mostly right now for animals other than humans, like for cattle and for dogs and
that's
cats.
Right.
So, you know, they're made many places by many different manufacturers, although it's the same principle. I mean, when the guy from the Olympians Association said, why don't we just, you know, we're dog lovers, we're prepared to chip our dogs, you know, why don't we just chip people? I mean, they're basically the same chip. I mean, it's an insensitive comment, but he's right. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You chip your dog, you chip a person, kind of the same chip. So, yeah, they're made lots of different places.
All right, let's go to the phones now as we begin, and I'm going to ask everybody the quick question about the chip, and then they'll have a question for you, Liz.
Sure.
Let us pick it up by going to John in California, west of the Rockies. John, would you get chipped?
No, I would not get chipped.
You would not? Okay, go ahead.
And I'd probably disown any family member who did.
Uh-huh. All right, you're pretty strong
about
that.
For being so stupid. Right. Now, the reason I'm calling is I heard a documentary, or saw a documentary on one of these stations and TV stations in L.A., and it showed that one of the Rockefeller brothers was bragging on video how this was their big plan to put chips in everyone and to have complete tyranny over their finances as a result. And what scares me is the human race, the human species is stupid enough and cattle-like enough to go for it. And as evidence, I offer our resistance to the truth that proves what really happened to John Lennon. We run from it.
So... Let me get this right. You won't get a chip. You won't let anybody in your family get a chip. But, well, we won't even go there. We won't even go there. Let's go to Tessa in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Tess, would you get a chip?
What are you doing? Oh, no, I would not be chipped. I would not play into the hands of the New World Order. Absolutely not.
Good for you. Now go ahead with your question for Liz.
Oh, no, I just wanted to tell Liz that I know she's telling the truth about the chips causing cancer and tumors in animals. We just had a tumor removed from our dog Buddy, from his right leg near his paw. And, you know, he had been chipped some time before, but I'm going to have it, I'm going to try to get it removed. And so I just wanted you to know that I really believe it's some truth to that. And two other people that I know who have dogs, they've also gotten, one got cancer and another one got a tumor, and she said that she had hers chipped. So I just want you to know you are telling the truth, and y'all are doing great work, and I love this program, George.
All right, thank you so much. Liz, let me ask you this, too. What power source is in these chips? What keeps them running?
Well, they're passive. There's no battery. So in order for them to reflect back their unique number, which is like a social security number, they have to be powered up by an external reader device. So there's this external device. You hold it usually within about 6 inches of the place where the chip is embedded, and then this power goes out basically to this chip, powers it up, and then it reflects back.
That's interesting.
The reader.
Okay, so I mean, because it is electronic, it needs some kind of power source, right?
Right. So the power is coming from outside. So if it's embedded in your skin, there's power being zapped from outside into the chip, and so the chip can reflect back. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it doesn't have any power, it's no battery. Well, you know, that's a real drawback to me, because when you've got a chip that doesn't need a battery, it means it can be there forever.
And how big are they? Grain of rice?
No. If you go to camcat.org, my new site, I have a picture right in the front of a microchip, a typical microchip that would be embedded in a person or an animal next to a grain of rice. And you will see that there's no way that, I mean, that was just a marketing thing.
So it's bigger than that.
Oh, it's a whole lot bigger. You can look at the picture at the site. You'll see the difference. It's huge. It's compared to a grain of rice.
When you put it into a body, how deep do you embed it?
Well, it depends on where you're putting it. But if it's in the upper arm, I mean, you're injecting it. It's not so, you know, totally deep, but it's deep enough so it won't pop out until all the fibers grow around it. So it's, you know, you wouldn't feel it and you wouldn't see it in an upper arm. But if you put it in the webbing between your thumb and your pointer finger, if you move your hand the right way, you can see it because, you know, the skin is thin there. There's not a lot of place for it to hide.
All right. So how long is it? A quarter inch? Half an inch?
Let me see. I haven't dug one out in a while.
I would say a grain of rice is about an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than that. I would say probably right now you're looking at maybe, oh my gosh, I don't want to be wrong, probably 3/4 of an inch at least, if not an inch. These things are,
jeez,
some of them are pretty big. They vary. It depends on what animal it's for as well.
And they're thin though, right?
They're thin, but not as thin as a grain of rice. You need a hypodermic injection to get that into your arm. You really do. Now, the ones that are for your hand, I've seen, they have slightly different devices because there's not as much flesh and tissue to go through to get it between your thumb and your forefinger.
Well, the needle's got to be pretty big in terms of thickness to get this thing into your system.
Right, and they never want to show that. They don't show people that. Right. And, in fact, I tried when they first came out, the Verichip Corporation, they wouldn't let anybody see the what they call a cannula. Because it's not just a needle, it's a cannula. And because when you look at that thing, I mean, you'll just, it'll, if you didn't think about, you have set reservations prior, when you look at that injection device, you just want to run.
Next up, we're going to Shingle Springs, California. First time caller, Helaman is with us. Hi there, Helaman. Would you get chipped?
No, I wouldn't.
You would not? Okay, go ahead.
But thank you for taking my call. And, George, I appreciate your show. I've been listening to it for years.
Thank you.
Anyway, the question for Liz is, why doesn't the U.S. government microchip illegal aliens?
Interesting. And
they've actually wanted to do that. It's just kind of scary. There are A few years ago, there was a proposal for migrants who would come in from South America to come and pick crops. And there was a problem like, well, how do we know where they are and that they actually go back? And there was a serious proposal of chip these people so that we could distinguish them and, identify them uniquely. So, you know, this is what always happens, George, and to the caller. I'm sorry, what was the caller's name again?
His name is Hilleman.
Hilleman, yes. Thank you, Hilleman, yes. So what typically happens is when technology like this comes about, they go after people that they can get to first. So you always go after people who can't say no, right? So you've got people coming in from outside the country. They want to come in. Those are people that they can go after. Here in this country, they try to chip senior citizens in a nursing home who really couldn't say no. We stopped that pretty much, but look who they're going after. They're going after vulnerable populations, people who can't say no, and they're going to work their way up, and hopefully we'll stop that, stop these ridiculous proposals, like chipping Olympians, because that's going way up the chain. That's just off the chain and ridiculous. So there you go.
That sounds like something that the leader of North Korea would want to do to everybody.
Absolutely, boy, he would love that.
Oh my God.
And who knows? Maybe he has. Who's in there checking up on that?
Michael's with us in Clearwater, Florida now. Michael, would you get chipped?
No, sir, I would not.
You would not. God, it's universal. But go ahead, Mike.
I have a question for Liz. The previous caller sort of alluded on what I'm going to ask you. How about the criminal justice system? Inmates, for instance, that are violent people that are serving time in a maximum security prison, why not get them chipped so that the little, you know, say you have a prison that all throughout the facility they have readers embedded everywhere, the moment they escape, if they can escape, an alarm would go off because the chip is not sending the thing to the receiver, which tells them, okay, this person is far away or has, you know, gone outside of the boundary. And also people that are on parole or probation for violent, you know, we already have the ankle bracelet, but that's kind of big and cumbersome, right? So, and they could, you know, those can be removed. You might think twice if they put a chip in you, well, I'm not going to cut my arm open to get this thing out, whereas of the ankle bracelet, I can just unscrew it and toss it. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that is and if that's a legitimate application possibility.
All right. Thank you, Michael. What do you think, Liz?
Well, a lot of people say, yeah, go chip those prisoners or go chip those migrants or, you know, anybody but me. But you know what? That's an inroad. Once they have an excuse to chip them, they're going to find an excuse to chip you. And everybody has human rights. And to embed a tracking chip in somebody 24/7 is really just, to me, going beyond the bounds of what's right. As far as the security that a chip offers, we've talked about this a little bit already, but I will tell you that if somebody wants to leave a prison, and I don't think having an embedded chip is going to stop that person. In fact, it could help with an escape because, you know, where that chip is supposedly where that inmate is, and if the inmate really, really wants to go and he gets that chip out of his arm, he could technically put it in something or somewhere where he is supposed to be and then escape, and then it could be hours before anyone would be the wiser.
Liz, do you see any good application for being embedded with a chip? Anything?
Well, actually, there are some chips that are useful for medical purposes. Some people need them to help power artificial limbs. But that's not, the purpose isn't for tracking people. I mean, that's for a different kind of a purpose. So I wouldn't want to say, oh, implants are bad, all implants are bad. I think we have to look at the implant and what the purpose is. Will it really serve the function it's supposed to, like protecting children? No, it probably hurts children. Do we really want a chip that's going to track us everywhere we go? No, that's not good for civil liberties or for privacy or for many reasons, right? Because once you can be tracked, you can be monitored, and then you can be controlled, and we don't want a controlled population like that, right? We have freedom in this country for a reason. So as far as a tracking chip goes, a chip for tracking purposes or to replace cash, no, I don't think it's wise. I can't see it. Can you see a reason, George?
No, not at this point. Has the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, jumped on this yet?
You know, there hasn't been a case that I know of where it's gone enough where, you know, the outrage of citizens hasn't stopped it. And, of course, in Wisconsin, that was voluntary, and so it's really hard to go back to that. However, what I do see, George, maybe the ACLU will come in or another high-powered attorney will come in this Wisconsin situation, for example, because of how voluntary was that with the chipping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I see there are going to be probably some lawsuits from people who are chipped, who want to get rid of the chip, who find out, wow, it's not a splinter. I can't just get a tweezer and take the darn thing
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
It gets infected, it gets broken, or George, from people who did not get chipped. And why do I say that? Because those people who work at the company who did not get chipped maybe won't get promoted, you know, maybe a lot of things, you know, would happen to them that their career would advance. And so whether it's true or not that declining a chip, you know, affected their position in a company, you know, at some point I think somebody's going to come up and sue, and then you'll see the ACLU or someone else defending their rights and saying, really, what's voluntary in a company? What's voluntary?
What about mandatory chipping of the military?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting.
That could happen.
It could happen. In fact, the company Somark I talked about with this ink marking, RFID ink, where it's like this really fast, you know, multi-needle process where you get, you
like
know,
a, like a little with, tattoo.
Like a tattoo. It's exactly an electronic tattoo. Somark actually was talking about chipping the military because mm-hmm. they were saying, well, you could tell who's friend or foe. You can tell where your people are, who's real and who's not, you know, if somebody dies, who they really are, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's a very vulnerable population, I think for sure.
Will they ever get to the point where chips can manipulate your thought patterns, almost like they can control your mind?
It would not surprise me.
Oh,
it would
boy.
Not surprise me. I mean, let's face it, with like this Olympic chipping, look at the advanced nature of a product that would monitor an Olympian's blood to find out if that person had taken any illicit substance.
Any substance.
Any
substance, yeah.
Because these chips can be matched up with biosensors now. So they can tell things like, you know, what your sugar level is in your blood. It can tell things like, do you have drugs in your body? I guess it could be, I hate to say this, but let's say you have someone you want to have on medication, maybe a patient. You say, wow, you need to be taking this antipsychotic medication. Well, there could be a chip with biosensors in that person's body that could, you know, tell if that medicine is not being taken, and then that person may need to report or would maybe near reader devices, and that chip could reflect back, you know, compliance or non-compliance. I mean, compliance or non-compliance not only with a drug regimen, but non-compliance with lots of other things, that which could get to the point where the state could say, well, you're non-compliant with whatever, you know, and then you've got a chip in your body. I mean, that's just a horrible situation where people could not only be monitored and tracked, but frankly, you know, almost like prisoners in a way.
All right, Liz, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls. Next hour, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. Will it take over the planet? Oh, boy, who knows? Welcome back. Liz McIntyre with us, and we're going to get to your final calls in just a second. Liz, have you or Catherine been under fire by any agencies or secret groups or people who want to stop you from stopping them?
We when we were putting out our book and doing our work early on, we had some private investigators actually calling people. Somehow they got a hold of information about us, and they were even in our bank accounts at one point, which was really scary. I know my husband used to call home frequently to say, are you okay? Because he was so worried. We finally felt some relief when we published our book and got our findings out there that the industry didn't want everyone to know. So I feel like at this point, you know, there are organizations that would hate for us, and maybe even governments that would hate for us to talk about the dangers of this technology,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to stop us.
No, they can't stop you.
No.
You're
no.
like a machine, a tank. Let's go to the phones. Lodi, Wisconsin we go. Matt's with us. Matt, would you take the chip or not? What do you think?
I probably would not take it for identification purposes, but let me preface that with saying that there are many medical devices now, even some that have been out for decades, such as pacemakers, that can be remotely read. My grandfather had a pacemaker well over 25 years ago, and he would sit downstairs in his office once a week, and he would put this device on his chest, and it would hook up to the phone, and it would read the settings off of the pacemaker and send that back to the hospital. And then the doc would say, yep, you're good, or nope, we need you to come in, and it's time to replace the battery. But I think that over the next 10 to 20 years, the minority report style identification is going to be where everything shifts to. We already have it in Windows 10. Apple is working feverishly to eliminate even Touch ID on their new phones, where you just look at your phone and it recognizes you.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter where you go. If I'm a owner of a business, I would rather use my security cameras that are already there to identify people. So I walk up to a door, if I'm allowed to go into that area, the door unlocks, I walk through. You know, if I walk into a store at the mall and I haven't bought anything there, that says, welcome, Matt, you know, you haven't been here. Here's a 15% off coupon. And that technology doesn't need any implants, nothing. All it has to do is take a picture of us. And what does everybody do? They put their picture on Facebook with their name and where they live. So I think that's where the technology is going.
And Matt, definitely start listening to the next half of the show when we talk about artificial intelligence, because that'll be right down your alley. And in some cases like this, Liz, some of the applications he just mentioned, non-chipping, would you say that kind of technology is acceptable?
Oh, yeah, and I had mentioned that before, that there are, like, artificial limbs where RFID tags are helping those patients to actually function better. And so I think you have to look at the technology and find out, you know, is it going to serve its purpose? That's number one, because most of the applications that we've been talking about, it's not going to work, right? It's not going to work, or it's going to be dangerous or whatever. But if it does work, okay, and if the manufacturer, you know, has put in sufficient protocols to ensure, you know, that it's not going to be tampered with, which is a huge issue right now, of course, because these internet-connected devices are a huge risk, people have found, then, you know, yeah, of course. And, of course, I think people have the right to make a choice.
Mm-hmm, of course.
If people want to alter their bodies, I mean, if they want to put tracking chips in their bodies, I say they should have that right to do that.
Of course.
They should be able to
of
do
course.
That. I have no problem with that. Just don't come after me, or after my family or my friends.
And force you.
And force either like by a mandate or by saying, well, yeah, but if you don't do this, then guess what? You don't get to work. Or, you know, you don't get some other benefit that other people get.
Do they set off alarms at airports?
No.
Too
That's
small.
My knowledge. No, they shouldn't. I mean, I guess there could be, with any device, there could be some interference with if the reader's in the area. But remember, right now these implants that we're talking about have no power of their own, so they're not beaming anything out unless they're prompted by a device.
All right, let's go to Eric, truck driving in Indiana. Eric, would you get chipped?
Oh, hell no. This is Eric, the mind control guy. You know better than that.
That's right. But I had to ask.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, as most people know who've listened to your show for any length of time knows that I am an authentic mind control test subject survivor from my time in the U.S. military. Now, the one I was in was called the Mind-Altering Research Study. Well, after it was shut down in 1990, they perfected a microchip. Of all names, it was called MARC, Mind-Altering Relay Chip. And who knows, George, what they say is what's in these chips is like night and day compared to what's really in these chips.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah, like when people get their flu shot every year or they get some vaccine, how do we know that they're not putting these microchips in there and that's why so many people end up in the hospital?
You really don't. You have to trust them, can you?
Not me. I've got way too much experience at that. You know, a lot of the guys didn't survive because of all the stuff that was done. We were just guinea pigs. And now they want to say, oh, we got all these really good reasons why we could put these microchips in you. Well, how do I know that that microchip is going to do what you say it is, and it's not going to do something totally off the charts?
What do you think about that, Liz?
Well,
thanks,
well,
Eric.
That's true. If you've got a device, in you, and you're using it for one purpose, it could always be used for another purpose. I mean, we talked about this in our book, Spy Chips, where, you know, corporations all want to put these tracking devices and things that we wear and carry every day. And then, of course, IBM says, wait a minute, hey, we've got this great opportunity. We're going to patent this people tracking device. The government could use it to track people in places like airports and train stations and bus stations. So all of a sudden, these chips that are for one purpose, you know, supposedly for innocently tracking inventory, are then turned into tracking devices. So, yes, your caller is absolutely right. You have to be really careful about anything like that.
Next up, Steve's with us, Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. Hi, Steve. Would you get chipped?
I would not get chipped.
You would not? Okay.
Not a million years. Nope.
All right, my friend. Go ahead. You're on with Liz.
A lot of guys have pretty much answered what I was going to ask. A couple things about if you walk into a place, if you have a chip, how do you know that they don't have the technology right at the door?
They probably would. And they know everything about you, your shopping habits, everything.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you don't even have to buy anything. You can just walk in. And I want to bring up something a guy talked about abducting a child, which is a horrible thing. And you said they wouldn't bring them anywhere. Well, they oftentimes bring them to shopping centers.
The person who stole the kid or the kid that gets stolen?
They're often,
Well, these chips that we're talking about right now are only readable from about 6 inches away. And so, I mean, it's possible that, there are more powerful readers that could read them.
Eventually, they're going to be little transmitters.
Right, and they could have, they could actually communicate further. But I think the real fear for me there is that it's actually counterproductive because people are not stupid. If they're going to take a child, unfortunately, I mean, after the first few people are caught and everybody figures out, oh my gosh, you know, these chips are in people, we got to be really careful, you know, they're going to remove that kind of thing. They're going to make sure that they don't get caught. So, you know, a chip is only valuable if it's doing its work and it's where it's supposed to be. But if somebody takes a child, removes a chip, and puts it where a child is supposed to be, that person can be miles away and it could be hours later before anyone goes, wait a minute, where's little Sally? Her chip's here, but she's not here, right?
Look, we haven't had one call yet from someone who said they'd take a chip. If they make this available to people, who's going to get chipped? Now, yes, you're right about that company in Wisconsin. A lot of those folks got chipped, but I think they did it for the boss.
I think so, too, and I'd love to talk to some attorneys about that, frankly. I'd like to hear from some of those people. We're only a few months out, but you better bet, George, down the road in a year, when some of those people who didn't get chipped don't get promotions, or when some of those people who are chipped know, this chip is really bothering me, I really want this out, and then nobody can figure out how to get it out without a surgery when the boss said, oh, it's just like a splinter. I'm just waiting for that.
Let's go to Kelly, first-time caller in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Kelly. Would you get chipped?
No, I would not.
You would not. Okay. Go ahead.
I guess the question I have is, what are your thoughts on 666 being WWW? Because in ancient Hebrew, they did use the letter W for six.
Explain that a little bit more for us, Kelly.
Okay, and while I was kind of investigating, going through the old languages that could have been in the Bible, the Roman and Greek, and I found out that in Hebrew, in the olden days, they used the letter six for letter W for six.
Oh, so WWW being the, of course, the code of your computer to get into your website.
You know, everything could be eventually, you can't buy or sell. Maybe everything will be through the internet, you know, in the future. And little by little.
Good point. What do you think of that, Liz?
Well, you know, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But, you know, we're talking about some kind of a mark.
WWW, 666.
At some point has to have an internet
address, you know, and that internet address is your name and address and everything about you and everything Google and Yahoo have collected. And, you know, I mean, heck, why not, right?
Boy, I'm going to have to check into this to see if in Hebrew 666 means www. That's weird.
That is weird. It's really, really weird. It's really crazy.
That could change the game here. Let's go to our international caller. We're going to Toronto, Canada now, one of our great cities. Clifford's with us. Cliff, would you get the chip?
No, I would not, George.
Okay, go ahead.
Liz, I went to Bible school and studied the ministry and studied in the book of Revelation, and I know that the only mark that can send your soul to hell is the 666 if you take it on your right hand and forehead. But I'm going to tell you, I'm online, and I have my year of birth and my name and a different month and day, but I do not have my picture on there. So what I'd like to know is, do you think credit cards and debit cards could send your soul to hell? Or do you believe that only if you take it on your right hand and forehead?
Well, they can send it to hell if it's maxed out, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I mean, this is all a very philosophical thing. And, you know, I think that there's not going to be, if there is this beast system, and so everybody has a different interpretation as to whether this is something that's happened, is happening now, it's going to happen in the future. Whatever your interpretation, I don't think when you read it, you think that this is something where people are going to be tricked into it or they're not going to know what they're doing, right? Because it's almost like you have to make a choice.
They're going to know. I'm also concerned about chipping babies in the future, that, you know, when little kids born in the hospital, that it's like mandatory.
Yeah, you know, that's really scary, and that's another reason why we need this legislation. I seriously believe that we need to have legislation protecting humans from forced chipping and this supposed voluntary chipping, and not only chipping but also marks. And you know, I was talking about this, you know, this thing of the mark on the right hand or forehead. An implantable chip is probably not very practical because it's lumpy and no one's going to put that in their forehead. But there are, as I told you, the Somark company has an invisible tattoo that can communicate from a distance just like an RFID chip. And if any of your listeners, you know, want to look this up, I'll tell you how they can look this up. If you go to startpage.com, which is, you know, the web search, and if you do this at startpage, that I just did it, so I know you can find it. So you go to startpage.com at startandpage.com, and then type in invisible radio tattoos soldiers. That's four words, invisible radio tattoos soldiers.
What do you get?
The first major one here, it's an article from 2007, Invisible Radio Tattoos Could Identify Soldiers. And it talks about not only soldiers but other applications for this technology, the Somark ID system, which is a biocompatible ink tattoo with chipless RFID functionality. So I'd like people to look at that, because if you're talking about a mark, this could definitely be called a mark. It would communicate information like a social security number for things if it functions the way that they're saying it functions. And believe me, this is just one iteration. I mean, I really believe, that's why I don't say that the embedded chip, like the Verichip, is the mark of the beast, because I really think that there's going to be some technology down the road that's going to make the implanted microchip, you know, look like pablum. You know what I'm saying? So
let's take a few more calls for you. Nate in Albany, New York, first-time caller. Nate, would you get the chip?
Absolutely.
You would? We found one.
Yes, you did.
How come? Why would you get it?
I don't have any fear that the government wants to track me. I'm not worried about carcinogens inside this chip. There's a lot of research that people do and conspiracy theorists that say that this, that, and the third. I'm not falling for it. I currently have a device in my chest that I have to take a little itty-bitty receiver and hook it up by just Bluetooth or wireless, whatever you want to call it, to my chest to send information to the doctor.
Pacemaker?
It's not a pacemaker. It's called a link.
Okay.
All right, and it just measures the electrical impulses. But regardless of that, I don't have a worry. I'm not a criminal. I don't break the law. If somebody wants to find me, they're going to find me without an RFID chip. It's just how it works. The government can find anybody. So putting a chip inside your body is not going to make a difference if you're going to be found or not.
All right, Liz, what do you think?
Well, it's not just about being found. It's about having privacy. It's about having a life without somebody following you around and knowing everything you buy, everybody you see. I mean, once you can be tracked, you can be monitored. And once you can be monitored, you can be controlled, because information is a really powerful thing. And when you know someone's monitoring you and following you around, we know from studies that it tends to stop people from speaking out. It really, you know, it erodes our First Amendment right to free speech and to free thought and to become the person that we need to be in the space we need to have. And so it's not just about the government finding you. It's also about, you know, keeping some things from Google and Yahoo and advertisers who want to sell us and track us around the internet. It's that kind of thing. And as far as your chip in your chest goes, like I said before, I don't have any problem. I think anyone should be able to take a device and alter their body. And I think that if a device is actually functional and it works, has proper security, and it's a benefit, then
go for it.
But I will tell you, there are plenty of people, and there are some, and it's interesting, I stumbled upon some studies from the FDA, some adverse event reports from patients who took Verichip implants, like back in 2006, 2007. And it's really interesting, because I see a couple here talking about they have pain in their arm, they don't think it was inserted right, they want to have it removed, and that there's nobody who knows how to remove it. I mean, there are all kinds of things that can go along with these kind of devices. So yours may be working perfectly well, and Nate, you have a right to it, but don't mix that up with other kinds of things that are for other purposes. But, of course, make your own choice, and more power to you, because we're in a country right now, we're free, where we can make these choices, and we should be able to continue to make these choices. And so that's why we need legislation, so people like you can take whatever you want, your chip, and then people like me and like George and like a lot of other people don't have to and aren't forced to in order to participate fully in society.
You got it. Liz, thank you for being on the program again. Give Catherine Albrecht our best and hope her health changes for the better. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about our final invention, artificial intelligence, and the end of the human era.